praise was possible. Who is he praying for? You. Jesus Christ himself prays for you. He's praying for us right before he sets out down the road, believing the cross, give his life to the world. And the primary duty of Levitical priests in the Old Testament, and don't worry, I'm not going to spend too long on Leviticus. The primary duty of those Levitical priests was to offer the daily sacrifices in the temple. That was their purpose, that was their function, that was their vocation. The primary duty of the high priest was to offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people one time a year. When was it? Atonement, yeah, the Day of Atonement. One time a year. Happened once a year, happened every year. In a similar way, the chief duty of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, is to offer himself as sacrifice. Sacrifice for the sins of the world once and for all. And he is both priest and victim at the same time. Now, we are in Bible class on Sunday morning studying the chief parts of the catechism. We're doing that by request, thanks be to God. You actually wanted that from me. Right? You asked to do that. Right? What a lucky pastor I am. That doesn't happen in every parish, by the way. But it's happened here. And we are currently on the sacrament of the altar, which, as I said this morning, even though it didn't need to be said, we're taking our time for it, as we ought. The Lord's Supper is the parallel gift of all of these Old Testament sacrifices. It's the parallel gift. Both testaments and both gifts hinge on the Holy Cross. They both hinge on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And they would be nothing without that. Nothing. The blood of bulls and goats, the Day of Atonement, and all of the temple worship were channels for what the Lord accomplished on the cross. And through those means, backward in time, to faith, the forgiveness of sins was given. It was delivered to men through those means. All those sacrifices, while delivering Christ to the people, were also a foreshadowing and a proclaiming of what Jesus Christ, atoning death and life, would do. And so when Christ gave himself as the atonement, as your atonement, he fulfilled and completed all of the sacrifices that were to come. He brought them to an end, brought them to their telos in himself. In a similar way, my brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper delivers forward in time, to faith, the benefits and blessings of what Christ won on that cross. Delivers it forward in time to us. Every Eucharist looks back in remembrance and proclaims the death of Christ. And we talked about remembrance this morning in Sunday school, in Anamnesis, that it is our remembrance before God. And furthermore, it asks God to remember us through the sacrifice of the great high priest on the cross. We do not eat the body and drink the blood of bulls and goats. Nobody did ever drink the blood of those sacrifices. We eat the risen body of Christ. We drink the blood that was poured out for us on Calvary, which all of those other sacrifices in the Old Testament, and maybe all of that stuff we just kind of skim through when we got to it in Leviticus, all of those things pointed to Jesus. And this is blood, my brethren, it is not taken by force that we might have life. It is offered to us. Christ does not make us predators. He gives his blood to us and for us. What we eat and what we drink veiled is not metaphor, something. What we receive is the actual body and blood of Jesus. I mean, God help us if it were just a metaphor. The forgiveness that we've received from that, that's not a metaphor either, is it? No. And so neither is the body and blood of Jesus. It is an actual eating and an actual drinking. Even as the sacrifices were the chief defining thing of the Old Testament worship, the Holy Eucharist is the chief defining thing of the New Testament worship. It just simply is. A church that does not have the Holy Communion as the pinnacle and of the center of its worship, right there in the middle, focused to a point among the people of God, is at the outer edge of Christianity. I have no hesitation in saying that. And it is in danger of inventing its own forms of worship, contrary to the Holy Scripture. Everything about the New Testament points to Christ among us, gathered as his holy people by his Holy Spirit, in this way. And that which allows us to fail to uphold the Lord's Supper as the center of our lives, of which there are many, many things, some of which we talked about maybe this morning in Sunday school. That is an abuse of the enduring, steadfast mercy and love of the Lord. And it's actually to tempt the Lord. It's to tempt the mercy of the Lord. The Holy Eucharist is the chief gift our high priest offers for us for the forgiveness of sin. Strengthen our faith, to strengthen our resolve against evil, to keep him in the flock of the church, that Satan, that prowling lion, doesn't prey upon us. It furthers the bond between him and us as husband and wife. And it is a mercy that we don't deserve and are not allowed to see with our own eyes, at least generally. Some of the saints have. Some of the saints who believed have been allowed to see what it is in a deeper way than we are. But that took years of devotion to the sacrament, to the Lord. Because if we did, I mean, think about it. If we were actually allowed every time we came up to the Lord's Supper to see what's going on, right, in reality, to see what's actually happening, we would be terrified. We would fall down in holy awe of what we saw. Right? I mean, think about the way that we, and I remember, like, I've as your pastor, I've got to be kind of on the ball up here, right? I've got to be following what's going on in the service, paying attention, maybe a little bit more than you do. And God knew what he was doing when he called me to be a pastor, because I remember when I sat in the pew. I remember how easily I was distracted. I remember, now this was a time really kind of before phones, before they buzzed in our pockets, but I remember my mind going off to all sorts of different places. Like, well, I wonder where we're going for lunch. Wonder how long this old guy's going to preach today. You know, I wonder. And just daydreaming all over the place. Oh, if we were to be allowed to see what's actually happening in our divine service here, what God is doing in this place, we would fall down in terror. our very souls, to our life, to be joined to us, not just as one of us, as men amongst arms are joined to one another, but that he would be in us in the most intimate way, with the purest bond and union possible. If God allowed us to gaze into that, right now, here in this place, we'd fall down in terror. And we would run to the hills, and we would beg for them to fall off. So God in his mercy, and praise God for his mercy, allows us to come forward with our pockets vibrating and buzzing and beeping, to stumble forward like children rushing to sit on their father's lap, mostly unaware of what he's doing, but simply expecting that he will know us as his own and that he will love us. And expecting, by God, it will be good. Thinking nothing of where we place our hands, our feet, how we hold them, anything like that. Or what our many distractions say to him. But knowing and trusting that he will welcome us and make us safe and cover us with his banner over us, that is always his love. That indulgence, that mercy, that luxury, which is needed by men who are sinners like me, that can be subject to abuse, as any of the graces and gifts and mercies of God are amongst wicked men. In some places, at some times throughout the history of the Holy Church, the Lord's Supper has not been centered. It's not been the focal point of the people of God. We ourselves have not always given it its proper and central place in our piety. At least I know I have. The Lord has instituted and established this new covenant in his blood as the primary act and gift of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He just gives it over to us. Begs us to run forward and receive it from him, from his own mercy. He has done this to bring us into the closest bonds of unity with himself, to show us his love, even in the midst of this fallen and darkened world that we live in, giving himself to those who desire him, not only to behold him, but also to have him, to handle him, to eat and to embrace him. That's what he does. That's why we come. The risen and ascended Lord does not abide in heaven and just sort of faint nice thoughts about us here and there, and will them in our gentle direction. He literally speaks his word of absolution. He comes down to earth to be with his friends and give himself to them in the Holy Communion, to touch them and to be touched by them. This is what we celebrated the Ascension on Thursday. And so, in the words St. John Chrysostom, let us then depart from this altar as lions breathing fire, who have been made terrible to the devil by this great gift, because we contain in our very bodies the Lord God Almighty, and we take him out in the world with us. Did you see that in the gospel? We are his body, and we glorify him in this world. We do. You do.
For Christ, our high priest, has not only won us back from Satan's claim over us, and crushed his head under his feet with his self-sacrifice. But he himself, who is risen from the dead in his body and blood, he himself intercedes for us right now to his Father. He walks every step with us, and we contain him in these clay earthen vessels. My brothers and sisters, he is not letting go of any one of us. In the name of Jesus.